little bit more than mid screen. Pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge the star.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, Shadow Games Podcast, episode 218. I know we've been gone for a little bit, but
we're back.
We have things to cover for you, like we did about WonderCon. Wayne and I went, which is a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like we said to everybody, if you guys haven't gone and you want to get as close to what Comic-Con feels like, but yet not the insanely overcrowded people.
Better way of saying that, if you want to feel what Comic-Con was like 20 years ago, go to WonderCon. I mean, seriously.
If you want to feel what Comic-Con feels like when I first started going back in 2000, WonderCon's the place to be. It's cheap, $35 on a Friday and a Saturday, and I think about $25
It's mostly
on a
about
Sunday.
The artists and publishers and,
yep,
the comic
and
creators.
Comic, yeah.
Not there, the big movies.
There is very minimal movies going on. So, you know what? We'll discuss about WonderCon later on. New trailers came out this past weekend. Star Wars Celebration at Orlando, Florida. We'll cover that for you guys too as well.
Yes.
So, what have I been doing this since the beginning of April? Well, for me, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter V. Yes, there is a new character coming out. We don't know who it is yet, but for me, I've been playing a lot more Urien and Balrog too as well. The North Carolina Regionals just ended over the weekend, and I haven't been watching because I've been focusing on more of the Star Wars Celebration. But let's see, I've been playing co-op mode for StarCraft 2, so like mission gameplay.
Okay, yeah,
that was actually very fun. If you don't want to play against other insanely high level tier people, players, aka Koreans, this is a good game to watch. Good game to play. You could do minor evacuations, you know, just to defend the ships when all the, you know, evacuations about to complete, and another one called the Vermilion Problem. It is a level that the lava rises up and down on random times, and you have to pick up the crystals and then place it like a regeneration chamber, whatever the hell that is. And there's also a time limit too as well. When the time limit hits zero, the planet explodes.
Okay.
So it's a fun game. It's definitely one of my favorites about StarCraft 2. I've leveled up. A lot of my characters are level 28 with the experience points. I'm actually playing a lot more Mutation, which is three different versions. There is the regular co-op. There is a Mutation, which is extra bonuses that you could do, but with the enemies that you play against has special abilities. So you can have all your opponents to be cloaked, and you need a detector to find them when you fight them. Or you could have random Widow Mines dropping out of the sky, and then you need detectors to find them. If not,
nice.
Yeah. You could also have the Amon's Forces, which is the main antagonist of StarCraft 2, Legacy of the Void. When you defeat one of his minions, they blow up like a nuclear bomb.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really fun on hard mode, but hey, you know, we got it done, me and my friends. I think it's about 45 minutes to do so. Let's see, what else I've been doing? Still been editing a lot of photos from WonderCon. A lot of fun today. I met up with a few people too as well, but that's all this has been doing for me, StarCraft 2 and Street Fighter 5. Wayne, how about you, man?
Well, I have grinded Mass Effect Andromeda into the ground.
So, how comparing that from out of 5 stars?
After completing the game and experiencing all the bugs that are in the game, I would say it's borderline 3.
3?
Yeah.
Comparing it to the previous for the Xbox 360?
The previous Mass Effect 3, I mean, let's face it. If you take away the ending, that was a solid 4. You know, you put in the ending and have all that garbage going on, that drops it back down to a 2 or a 3. Mass Effect Andromeda's got a lot of promise, but they've got a lot of bugs they need to work out. For example, I was on one mission where I was coming back in from a door and had to shoot some enemies that were outside. I had enemies that were shooting me that I could not shoot because they were somehow inside of a rock.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty right. And then my character all of a sudden started doing a little, you know, twitching movement kind of thing as he's, you know, I mean, he's kind of going as he moves around. I could still move him. I could still shoot. But he just looked really funny. I actually had that one recorded. In another case, I had my Nomad vehicle randomly spawn with me inside of a remnant vault where they cannot go into after I had died. I don't know how that happened, but it was really funny because I got this little pedestal, little area where I could drive it back and forth, and that was about it. I had to, you know, can't really do anything with it. You know, there's quests that are bugged.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus, guys.
You have a side quest where you need to go and pick up a blueprint and then go craft it, research it for the Nomad shields. Well, I did that. Quest never completed. A lot of people are having that same problem with that particular bug. Another bug that was semi-resolved but still is an issue for those of us that started playing right away was the quest regarding the collection of remnant data cores. Not to be confused with remnant cores, which I don't know why they gave us two quests that were so close together in names for collectibles. The data remnant cores, initially, when the game shipped, you would go through the section where you would start that quest, and the quest would never pop up. Therefore, you never knew you actually had to collect them, mm-hmm. or where to look, you know, what to look for. So for many of us, we didn't start collecting them until the patch hit last week, or the other week.
The week prior.
Week prior, yeah. When that hit, that quest popped up on us, and some of us had a few of them collected, but not all of them, so we really didn't know what we had collected, where they got collected from, and to top it off, most of those data remnant cores, you cannot go back to the vaults where they were to collect it after you've completed that section. So you got to collect 9 altogether, which there's hard to say exactly, but there's either 9 or there's 11. We don't know for certain. There's misinformation out online right now, based on my research.
Well, he will get back to you once everything's up and running, okay?
If it ever gets there.
If it gets ever up and running. Yeah. What else have you done, man?
Other than Mass Effect Andromeda, I jumped back into Destiny, doing the Age of Triumph questline. Got a few of those out of the way. Only been doing that last few nights. And then I jumped in and played a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront the other night, doing some multiplayer on the Death Star run. Kind of fun. And a little bit of the Batman Telltale games.
How is that?
The little bit I played of it, and I only played through like the first half of a chapter, or first chapter of a season. Yeah, first chapter of a season, I guess would be right. It's interesting. It's
a different Batman that we're used to with Arkham, right? The Arkham series. It's very total 180, because we're not...
Well, I'm not far enough along where I can say that for sure. What it appears is that you have the choice to define your Batman character, your Bruce Wayne.
So technically, you're playing the 90s cartoon move anime in a video game.
Kind of.
But you control his destiny.
Yeah, it feels to me like you could make him into the Arkham version, or you can make him not, but I'm not 100% sure on that. It just feels like that might be at the case at this point in the game. Other than that, of course, I've been doing the Apex missions for Mass Effect Andromeda on my tablet here and there to try to get more gear or whatever, you know, points. I'm not really sure it's worth it. yeah, I think that's about it as far as gaming. I've been doing a lot of photography too, so I've been working on some of that stuff. But
okay.
Game-wise, I think I'm... Yeah. I think I need a nap from all the gaming.
Yeah, you do. You need all the knife in the gaming. So, before you do that, let's get on with the news this past several weeks. All right, what do we got first, Wayne?
You mean there's news?
Yes, you idiot. Oh. All right, guys. So, one of the major news that came out during Star Wars Celebration, and we're not talking about the big one. This is one of them for me. Star Wars Battlefront 2. It is... The trailer's already out. You can actually...
Go watch it.
Go watch it. You'll be surprised at the new characters you'll be able to play as or with. But before that, Star Wars Battlefront 2's offline co-op isn't available on PC. Just for the consoles. So new details for the Battlefront 2 has come to light regarding its offline co-op. Contrary to an earlier statement from rumors and whatnot, offline co-op will be available on both Xbox One and PlayStation, but not on PC. Yeah. So, yeah.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, that's according to Game Informer. It said that offline co-op would only be supported on Xbox One. However, this statement has been updated to, quote-unquote, exclusive to the console versions only.
Yep.
As Wayne says, not surprising. I do agree with them on that. It's the same setup as Battlefront in 2015 that came out for the newer consoles back then. So, also the heads up to as well, Battlefront 2 launches on November 17th of this year. So,
oh, yeah.
Yes! Yes, I haven't done it. Feel free to play the Battlefront first one. So Wayne.
So, Xbox One and PC Halo Wars Remastered Edition is actually going to be sold individually now as a standalone, not just in the pack with Halo Wars 2.
Oh!
Yeah, so...
Smart!
Definitive Edition for Halo Wars. It launches this Thursday, April 20th, for $20 on all platforms.
I would pick it up.
So, Xbox One and PC versions, there you go. The Xbox Store and Windows Store versions, of course, will be Xbox Play Anywhere. Buy it once for $20 and you got it on both consoles. That's not bad. Because I already got it.
Yeah, I know. You're probably going to get it again, aren't you?
No. What good would it do me? I already got it digitally anyways. Next on that, we've got DLC coming next week, actually, I believe it is. Or is it this week?
When does that come out? Start reading it, Wayne. Dang it.
Let me see here. I think it's actually
out already.
Should be out already.
Yeah.
So DLC for Halo Wars 2. The first... DLC leader was Kinsano, was back in March.
So pretty much the new leaders will be released on a monthly basis as part of the studio's, as part of 343 Industries' effort to keep the game, feeling fresh like it needs to be. The leaders will include Halo Wars 2, season pass, or can be purchased individually. So if you guys have a season pass, cool. If not, hey, it's all still good too as well. Let's see, they also released a small new update for the game that fixes crash scenarios and other bugs too as well. The crash error performance fix an issue in campaign saves files from previous versions / patches were crashing on load. So if you guys had any type of that issue, it should be fixed right now. So the save files now load successfully, thank God.
Yeah, so there's issues with gameplay that been fixed where your watchtowers and motion sensors did not detect cloaked units. Or there were issues with cloaking generators and issues with the Ford's Warthog not displaying proper video graphics and so forth.
Yep, and also the cosmetic line, updating the text for Forge's quote-unquote rolling economy leader power to match balance changes made in the Kinsano update. So, yeah, that's all the stuff they got on there too as well. And speaking of which... Xbox announced a 6-year deal with Porsche, beginning with a new Forza Horizon 3 DLC out now. So, after Sony, announced that Porsche cars would be in Gran Turismo Sport for the PlayStation 4, which I'm going to get to, as I'm a huge fan of Gran Turismo, Microsoft has now confirmed that they will also be coming to the Forza series. This is pretty much a noticeable, considering that EA previously had an exclusive deal with Porsche that went back 16 years.
Yeah.
And that expired back in 2016. Microsoft's deal with Porsche, as announced on Xbox Wire, is good for 6 years, as mentioned. They will collaborate on a set of co-branded initiatives for Porsche and also the Forza franchise. For all you guys out there, oh God, please give me the old school Porsches from the newer ones and everything in the middle.
Yeah, so we get classics like the 1960 718 RS60.
And the newer ones like the 2017 Panamera. I've driven that, not fond of it.
But so we've got the Porsche pack is out now. So go in and check that out if you got Forza Horizon 3.
Yep.
I know I'm going to be looking at it.
Yeah.
So also the Forza Racing Championship Season 3 is ongoing right now as well.
Oh, nice.
I believe the registration period is already over, but you can always go online and double check on that. So that's always fun to see how that works out. I think there's a few other
things going on. We also have Microsoft to offer refunds on digital Xbox One and PC games.
Ooh.
Refundable games. So, Microsoft will offer refunds for digital games purchased through Xbox Live across Xbox One and PC, according to an image of an upcoming update post on Reddit. I'm actually going to look through this, see how it is. Information on this on the refund program was issued to those participating in the Xbox Insider program. Yeah. So pretty much it would allow members to test new features before they are made available to the wider Xbox community. Quote unquote, "You've spoken, we've listened," reads the message. "In support of offering gamers the freedom of choice, we're making changes to the Microsoft Store purchase experience by offering customers a simple way to instantly return digital products like games and apps to the account.microsoft.com. So if you guys want to read more about it, it's going to be on Microsoft's website. And also, there's also more stating that when a game or app leaves you wanting more, we're here to help. Self-service refunds on Xbox One and Windows 10 provides a quick, simple way of returning a digital product. So,
yeah. So, definitely a good thing. It's basically what Steam's doing. Gives you an option to return the game within 48 hours, or I believe it is.
Less than 14 days
of purchase if you have less than 2 hours of gameplay. However, they are keeping track of this, so they're going to make sure that people aren't going to, abuse the system. I think they've actually stated somewhere else that if you are a repeat offender and abuse the system, they will be banning accounts.
Yep.
So don't be surprised. Play by the rules.
Oh, yeah. We also... So if you guys love video games like Wayne and I do, since a kid, Microsoft is doing something pretty cool. Microsoft launches an Xbox Academy, free Xbox and PC game development classes. This is pretty awesome. So the Microsoft Store in Sydney, Australia will this week launch the Xbox Academy, a series of free game development classes in collaboration with the Academy of Interactive Entertainment, AIE, a multinational nonprofit college focusing on game development, animation, and visual effects.
Yeah.
A move is pretty much in time in conjunction with Australia's Easter school holiday period. So, for all you Australian fans out there, I hope you guys
make us some good games.
Yeah, guys. I mean, come on, Kangaroo Hunter. Sorry.
Yeah.
The program will feature three different courses led by AIE tutors, which cover different aspects of the game development process: game design, game program, and developing games on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Each course is intricately linked to similar courses taught by AIE. Damn it, I can't even pronounce that. It's three letters, which allows for an obvious path for further education should attendees seek to pursue it. Dude, if I had the chance and they had this back then,
I
would have done it.
I would have gone for that too,
All workshops has and will be covered by the Microsoft Store, and each course runs for 3 hours.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty sweet deal there. Hopefully this is a big hit over there, and hopefully we see something like this coming to the States.
Gamers here would love that?
I know.
Okay, so also news, the current series of the Xbox Academy classes will run from April 10th until April 22nd, 2017. So pretty much the end of this week.
Can I move to Australia for a few days?
No, you don't even have the chance. Interested students can apply for Xbox Academy Workshop on the Microsoft event page.
Yep.
Come on, Aussies.
And then just last week we had the Windows 10 Creators Update launch.
I see.
Which, if you haven't had a chance to update, keep looking for that update to come out for you. You can force it if you want to. Go online to Microsoft's website, and you can actually download an upgrade tool.
That's pretty cool.
But you can wait for it, too. It's got a lot of great features in there. For gamers particularly, we have the new game mode, which will help optimize games for better performance by turning off all those unnecessary services while you're gaming. We also get live streaming service Beam, which is going to be interesting how that works out and how it competes with Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the main features that we're going to see for gamers, per se. There's a lot more to it. We do have the game bar, which works with the game mode as well. For those of you that like to stay up late on your laptop or your computer playing games, too, there's also Nightlight, which will turn off, which will adjust the blue light emitted from the screen to help
you fall asleep, pretty much.
Yeah, I tested it out the other night. Woo!
I have to do that in mine.
It's pretty cool, and it's set to do it automatically if you turn it on to from sunset to sunrise. So it's really works out pretty good.
For all the people that are playing games up until the morning of dawn, hopefully you guys know what a real sunlight versus what a screen that's supposed to look like or feel like, you know? Especially right. Summertime's around the corner and all.
Other than that, there's some other features like 3D. You can actually create 3D content in Paint now.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. You can share it on Remix 3D, and there's some really cool designs already put up there from some people. And a lot of under-the-hood improvements, too. They've also streamlined the privacy features of Windows 10, so you have easier to understand and easier to control what your privacy settings are and what Microsoft's
What
Microsoft's using. So it's pretty cool. I like everything I've seen so far. It's really working out pretty good.
Cool. Also, on a sad note, Nintendo discontinues the NES console that it released the end of last year.
The classic.
Just after 6 months on the market, Nintendo says it is discontinuing the NES Classic Edition in North America. Nintendo did not provide any specifications or reasons for why the console is, being discontinued. But the plug-and-play system has been plagued with supply issues, months after its launch. It's still selling out most as quickly as, shipments. So they're technically behind on production. Throughout April, NOA territories will receive the last shipments of Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES Classic Edition systems for this year. We encourage anyone interested in obtaining this system to check with their retailer outlets regarding availability. So if they're smart, hopefully the end is here, they should do a Super Nintendo.
You never know.
You'll never know, guys. I'm a huge Super Nintendo fan.
Yeah.
And if they do it correctly,
There's
Super Mario World.
There's some rumors that the reason they're doing this is because of DLC, DRM and modding.
Uh-huh.
People have been modding the system to allow them to put other games on the system.
Yep.
And bypass, DRM and other things. So there's some concerns there, and Microsoft may be using that as feedback to say, we can't keep doing this if people are going to be abusing it.
Yeah.
They don't want to say that out. Outright either.
They're just keeping it underneath their chin.
For now.
Yep. Alright, so last news of the evening. The much anticipated Xbox Project Scorpio full tech spec explained in depth.
Ooh.
So give us a rundown on this real quickly, Wayne, because we have some more stuff to talk about after this.
So, 12 gigs of RAM.
50% more than the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. That is insane.
And it's GDDR5.
The same, fast type of memory seen in the PlayStation 4 and an improvement over the Xbox One's DDR3.
We're talking bandwidth of 326 gigabytes a second.
So pretty much an increase over the PlayStation 4 Pro's 218 gigabytes a second.
32 megabytes of ES RAM. In addition, it's got Morgan Mitchell 8 gigs of DDR3 RAM as well. Portions of RAM clock 204 gigabytes a second, 68 gigabytes per second.
Respectively, which is pretty cool.
It's running a very detailed, down to the, incredibly customized chip based on Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
40 customized compute units clocked
at... That's quote-unquote compute clock-wise at... 1172 megahertz off from the PlayStation Pro's 36 units that runs at 911 megahertz.
Yeah.
And also the Xbox One's 12 units that can manage up 853 megahertz. That's holy shanks!
Right?
Whoa!
The GPU is about 4.6 times more powerful than the Xbox One.
Microsoft, here's my money. Take it.
Yeah. And a lot of people are describing it as a beast. This equates to 6 teraflops of performance. 6 teraflops.
That's beyond terabytes.
Eight custom x86 CPU cores, each clocked at 2.3 gigahertz. Compared to the Xbox One's 8 at 1.75.
Jaguar cores.
And the PS4.
Similar array that runs at 2.1 gigahertz. So lastly, the upgraded consoles will ship with a 1 terabyte hard drive and supports 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays. Just like the Xbox One S can, the PS4, PS4 Pro, and Xbox One can only take standard Blu-ray disc.
Yep.
So what does it all mean? We win.
Take my money.
Here's my credit card. I barely use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some more news too, isn't there? What do you had? Okay, so the Scorpio will run all Xbox One games, quote-unquote, better.
Yeah.
Whether they're patched for new consoles or not, this means a more stable or high frame rate, or higher frame rate, improved texture filtering, and no screen tearing. And the fast load times too as well. Oh my god.
Yeah, faster load times.
Yep. All that is also reportedly true for the backwards compatible Xbox 360 games, even though changes in the hardware between the Xbox One and Project Scorpio means Microsoft has to go through every existing game individually to make them run on Scorpio. Oh my god. Do it, Xbox, now.
Yeah, so I mean, potentially we're going to get 60 frames per second on some games that we're running 30 frames per second.
Indeed.
Game DVR will let you capture at 4K.
This is insane.
Right?
And also, for the users who own... Damn it, Wayne. Sorry, that was just crap right here.
Achievement!
So for the users who have owned a 1080p television, will still be, you know, catered for to, you know, the quote-unquote Ultra HD rendering, you know, should super sample down those 1080p's displays, quote-unquote. Pretty much what the site says.
Yeah. We also know that there will be no dedicated Kinect port. You'll need the adapter like you do on the Xbox One S.
Yep, indeed, too, as well. So pretty much Microsoft says Scorpio is the most powerful console ever made, and that will be more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro. The new console is due to launch this holiday, so for all you guys, start saving your money.
Yep.
But it remains to be seen when Microsoft will start officially showing it off more in detail. Head honcho Phil Spencer also said that he is unsure if Microsoft will show off Project Scorpio before E3 in June, while also citing recently that he thinks it's, you know, quote-unquote critical for first-party games to be ready for the system's launch. They should be.
Yeah.
They should be. Especially with all the data that Microsoft has released, they need to amp it up.
I think they will be. I think we'll see some incredible gaming coming out of this.
Yep. Awesome, okay, guys. So here we go.
Uh-oh.
Let's get down with the nitty-gritty. This past several weeks, we have several trailers that came out. One of them is Wayne's favorite, which is a new trailer for Transformers The Last Knight. Give us your take on it real quick, Wayne.
That last trailer?
All right, cool.
Yeah. No, it's just mind-blowing. There's so many things going on in this movie that it's going to bring a lot of the lore that we knew from previous comics and so forth, and some newer stuff, and blend it all together.
Yeah, this is going to be insane.
It looks to be pretty intense.
I heard this might be the last film.
No. We've got more films coming.
Oh, Jesus H.
Actually, next up is going to be a standalone movie for Bumblebee.
No, I mean, like, non-standalone.
We're going to have... Yeah, there's more in the works.
Okay. All right, so pretty much the trailer shows us what's going on. Who is that little droid that held Optimus Prime? Who was that?
I'm not sure offhand.
Yeah, but it also tells us who is joining Mark Wahlberg's character, which is a little girl.
Yep.
Who's going to be fighting alongside the Autobots. So it's We also got the returning, what's his name? Colonel,
Oh, we've got Lennox.
Lennox back from the first three original series.
There's actually, it looks like a few of them are coming back.
Yeah.
It hasn't been confirmed, but I believe there's several others that'll be back in the film. You know, we'll wait to see how that works out.
Oh, indeed, yes. Alright, so, shall we?
Go for it.
Alright, guys. If you guys haven't seen yet, as I mentioned in the middle of the podcast, Star Wars Celebration just ended yesterday, Orlando, Florida. I was watching the live stream over the weekend. Every single panel.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi panel.
Mm.
And then when they showed us, I didn't even watch the last 30 seconds, the last several minutes of the panel. I went on YouTube. 5 minutes later, I found it. If you guys haven't seen it, the trailer for The Last Jedi is officially out.
How could you have not seen it?
It is amazing.
It looks good.
It shows us a lot of things that we are looking forward to. The training of Rey. Why, you know, answers of why Luke mm-hmm. is in exile. He also shows us the massacre of his old Jedi teaching temple. You noticed that, right? Noticed that. Hopefully, the resurrection of Captain Phasma, because she needs a redemption, especially after The Force Awakens. That was garbage. I was waiting for her to run down people and whatnot.
Right.
You know, big time. We also see what is happening. Where is Finn? Okay. Where is BB-8? And where is Poe Dameron?
Yeah.
Now, we also got a clear shot of what is our, what's his name? Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
How he looks like. He looks like a real killer. Especially with that scar going down his face right here.
Uh-huh.
What Rey gave him. And also, it looks like he won't be wearing a mask. During the trailer, you can see that his original mask that he wore on The Force Awakens has been crushed.
Yeah.
And you can hear in the background the breathing of Darth Vader. Will we get a new costume with him? From him? Hopefully so. From what I've read, he's going to have a Darth Vader-esque cape going on.
Okay.
Yep. And it looks like he reconstructed his Jesus Christ Superstar's lightsaber. The cross blade. all those memes that came out looking like a Christmas tree when you turned it on. Let's see.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that really got me during the trailer was a shot of a wooden wall, but with books in it. After I watched it three to four times, I just noticed that one, it is not books. If you guys have been following the lore, the actual extended universe, the EU before Disney nixed it, that is the Journals of the Wills, WHILLS. A little background story on this. These guys are the OG Jedis. The OG Force users.
Yeah.
They are in the middle. They're not completely full of light side, but they also study the dark side, but without being tempted into the dark side. And from what I can tell, especially in the end of what Luke said, all Jedis must be destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm saying that he reads something that from the Journal of the Wills, that it shatters his beliefs on the Jedi, since he was been trained by Obi-Wan and then also by what's his name, Master Yoda. So he, in my opinion, right now, he is going to be the title. He will be the last Jedi, but he will also be the first great Jedi of the series.
Could very well be.
It could be. I don't know what else can do, because when I saw those books, those are the Journals of the Wills. So,
unless I really doubt it, unless Luke is going to be skirting the dark side a little bit, that's the only explanation.
No. Well, he's...
That's what I'm saying.
No, no, he's gonna dabble in it, but not gonna be fully in it.
Yeah, I know.
That's what the great Jedis do.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really say he'll be the first, but... Qui-Gon Jinn, in my opinion, was the first one in the film series. He turned down the offer to be part of the Jedi Council. He defied a lot of orders. He also went with his gut feeling. You know, there's a lot of stuff that the Jedi Councils do, don't want to do. Like, start a family, dabble in the dark side, protecting the Republic. The Grey Jedis, they do everything. They can start a family, they can get married, they can dabble in the dark side, yada, yada, yada. So, keeping it short, I cannot wait for the next trailer. Well, the official trailer. This was the teaser that came out.
That was the teaser, yeah. We'll see.
Yes, so, yeah. All right, so let's go talk about, real quickly, WonderCon. I was there for all the photo shoots from the 501st, the Mandalorian Mercs, the the Rebel Legion, the Marvel cosplay, the DC cosplay photo shoots. I was there. I'll have the pictures up and running, guys. It'll be a little bit of time, but I'll get it up and running. I also went to the Street Fighter 30th anniversary panel or 40th anniversary panel, which is pretty cool. They haven't. You know, they showed us a trailer that came out. That's about it for us.
Yeah.
Super Street Fighter 2, the final whatever. That's coming up for the Nintendo console, the Switch. Wayne, so, give it a rundown.
Yeah, I mean, I basically ran into a few panels. Nothing that really stood out as okay, this is really newsworthy per se. I mean, we don't get a lot of big news at WonderCon usually. Sometimes
it's a lot of TV shows that are there.
Yeah.
Yep. And also, I want to guys let you know that in the middle of my photo shoot, I got a Facebook message from this guy here saying that, oh my god, they casted Matt Damon as Apocalypse. I looked it up. Oh, you got trolled. April Fool's, sucker. Yes, April Fool's was the second day of WonderCon, so.
Yeah. We do have some good news from WonderCon, though.
Yes.
IDW. One of my favorite publishers right
and
now.
And
they do some great work, right?
And they're right here in San Diego, right in our backyards.
They are the first publisher to release a comics app for Xbox One, Windows 10 PC, and Windows Phone.
Oh, you guys are doing it right. Thank you.
They're doing it right. I actually asked that same day, I asked Comixology why they weren't doing it, and they said, oh, we don't see a market there.
Oh my god, you
and
guys.
IDW does it right
You guys
the same
screwed
day.
Up. Good luck.
Yeah. So, be interesting to see how this plays out. The app is actually made by Madefire, which is also available on all three platforms. So, if you want, you can use the Madefire app or the IDW app. Madefire is going to have more content than just the IDW books. If you get on there now, though, with the Xbox app, set up your account, you're going to get some free books. So I'll do that while you still can.
Alright. Okay, guys, so we'll give you the rundown of what happened. Well, for me, it was all photo shoots for me. Wayne did a few things. He walked around. Typical.
A lot of walking around.
A lot of walking around. As we suggested before in the beginning of this podcast, if you guys want to experience what Comic-Con was like in the early 2000s, prior to, I believe, like 2006, 2007, when it extremely blew up,
boom,
I would recommend going to WonderCon. It's always in Anaheim. It's right next to Disneyland Convention Center. Good parking, good people. There's,
plenty of places to stay there.
Yeah, plenty of places. And plus, if you can't find hotels, you can always book some Airbnb.
Oh,
it's cheap. 50, 60 bucks a day, maybe less. Hey, do it. Let's see. So, that's it for the news this week. What we've been doing. Also, now we are getting ready for Comic-Con 2017, as we said, for all the people that survived the open registration.
Thank
you. Last week, good luck, guys. For all the people that made it in, congratulations. For all the people that, that went last year and couldn't make it this year, there's always next year, guys.
Yeah.
And I said to a few of my friends, WonderCon's the way to go.
Yeah.
We are officially, April We are April, May, June. We're almost 3 months away, guys.
I know.
We are almost 3 flipping months away, and I can't wait for all the shenanigans to come by, all the stupidity that's gonna go down.
Oh.
All the long lines. All the people waiting to get into Hall H.
Ooh,
you guys are insane. I don't know how you do it.
I've talked to people about that, and some of them,
two of my good friends have been doing it the past 4 years. They physically contact me and say, "Hey Phil, can you give me some like food or anything?" I'm like, "Sure, I'll go down there.
Yep.
Just pay me back whenever. I don't care here." But you know what? It's
all good.
Yep. So, and more news too as well. They're pushing a ballot to have the convention center remodeled.
Yeah, yep. Expanded a little bit.
Expanded, remodeled into the bay, or whatever they need to do. It's going to be paid for the hotel tax.
And it also, looks that way, yeah.
Yep, and also for the tourism tax as well. They were supposed to do that with San Diego charges, but the people didn't want it that way. I didn't want it that way. Give it the convention center.
Yeah. Bring us the moneymaker.
Yeah, give us a real. We'll give you guys a real moneymaker. If Anaheim doesn't want WonderCon anymore, hey, bring it down to San Diego.
I don't think that would happen, but no. You never know.
Hey, but it's still run by the same guys.
It is.
It's still run by the same guys.
Yeah.
They can be greedy and bring it down here to San Diego.
You never know, but yeah. I doubt it.
No. I actually do like the setting for WonderCon in Anaheim. And then last year at downtown LA, I didn't have any fun at all. Parking sucked. I did get parking, but still. I found parking within less than 5 minutes, which is at the Pinocchio booth. So, guys, anywho, this is it for us. Follow our Facebook page, Instagram, and also our Twitter page, at Two Shots of Geek. Make sure to look at our main website to see what's going on and also what new articles are coming out with, too, as well. Anywho, for all the people that went to MTAC this past weekend, hope you guys have fun. Pictures are up. Feel free to tag yourselves, okay? Again, anywho, we are twoshotsofgeek.com, and we are here to bring you the future 8 bits at a time. What the hell's going on?
I don't know what you're saying.